Welcome to Hashtime with Navguzi Chiwanuka. This is a place where we help you unravel social constructs, discuss self-development in line with mental health, emotional well-being, and everything in between that directly or indirectly affects us in the millennial world around us. If you're hearing my voice for the first time and are the kind of person who is not scared of being a better version of yourself, even if it requires you to contradict who you were 24 hours ago, consider this your virtual home. I'm your host, Navguzi Chiwanuka, and I cannot wait to engage with you in the various conversations. So today I'm speaking to my friend Dami. She and I met last year at the DCM Africa Lodge in Zambia. And between the endless cackling and banter, Dami suggested that we talk about how volunteering changed her life. And it's the reason why we are here today. Of course, there are more life-changing revelations in this conversation. And I am sure, very, very sure that by the time we get to the end of the episode, you will be able to make the best decision for your life's transformation. If you're already making that decision, at least it will be a validation that you are on the right path. So, ladies and gentlemen, here is Dami. Hi, Dami.
Hi, Chiwanuka.
How are you doing?
I'm
okay. Are you all right?
I'm all right. I'm okay.
First, tell me the person you're trying to impersonate here in your image. It's just a simple name. You can just give me one name.
Now, this is the real me. The me.
The real
is
you.
Like the watered down version of me. I was trying not to be too proud. I was trying to be humble.
The one that I saw in real person was not your real face.
No, it wasn't my real face. I was trying to be humble. I just, go with the flow. Not be too proud and all of that stuff. Yeah,
but you have come.
You're welcome anyway. You're welcome.
You come with Shege. Please introduce yourself to our listeners.
So my name is Dami. My full name is actually Oluwa Damilola, but my name is Dami.
Mm-hmm.
Aderumu. I dare people to try to pronounce that.
Aderumu.
Oh my God. Aderumu. Oh yeah, you tried.
Yeah.
You can try it. And what am I? For work, I am a program manager, and I like to still say that I'm a chemist because I do have a PhD in chemistry, and I feel like you
wait
never
a
stop
minute, it's a PhD.
Yes, a PhD in chemistry. So.
I had no idea that it was a PhD. I am very sorry for disrespecting you for the times that I've been dragging you. Please, Doc, forgive me. Forgive me, Sha.
Please. You know you don't mean that. So don't
proper doctor. Those people just showed you your image like that.
Honestly. And then you see what you did to me. But yeah, it's fine. But yeah.
Tell us.
Yeah. So I'm a chemist. I'm a program manager. And I think... I like to introduce myself aside the things that I do. I like to describe myself in other ways as well.
Yeah,
so,
I feel like there is more of you than the work that you do.
Yes, exactly. And I'm a stubborn person.
No doubt.
Stubborn person who maybe empathizes with people too much. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, but yeah, I think as I'm growing, I'm learning to create boundaries and yeah, just understand the extent to which I can save people in quotes. I'm a very playful person. I love dancing.
Mm-hmm.
I love dancing. I think that's a good, I think that's a good description of who I am. Every other thing is layered on top of all of those things.
So when I asked you in the beginning, when we are trying to do the normal greeting that we do
as human beings, I think, or should I just say Africa specifically, you told me that you're okay, but I just shared with you an emotional wheel or feeling wheel. How are you really when you look at the emotional wheel?
Yeah, I think the general response, especially for me, like I could be dying and you say, oh, how are you? And my first response would be, I'm okay. Like
all of us.
Yeah. I'm okay. I don't even think, have to think about it. That's the first thing.
I know.
So yeah, that just, but looking at this wheel, I think I'm happy.
Yeah.
Because it is my brother's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday to him.
That's the only brother that I do have in the whole world. Well, I'm married to Nigeria. Sorry, I'm not married. My dad is a Nigerian man, so you never can tell, but to the best of my knowledge.
To the best of your knowledge.
I'm the one brother.
That was very important. When you added to the, in the whole world, but it's very important to add to the best of your knowledge.
Mm-hmm. To the best of my knowledge. So I have a little brother. And yeah, I'm happy that it is his birthday.
Yeah.
Then I also feel a bit of, trying to find the word. I have a lot. I'm trying to find the exact word that describes that. Just, yeah, there's a lot on my mind.
There's a lot on your mind?
Yeah.
And it's not catered for in the full spectrum?
Yeah, I'm trying to find a word that describes it. Like
relatable.
Perfectly. So I'm not over-exaggerating I think... what has stimulated me?
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I don't want to waste the time, but let me just describe what I feel. So it's just, there's a lot going on in my head, and it's not like bad things entirely. It's just like, I'm thinking about so many things at the same time, work, personal life. So, you know, at the beginning of the year, you have like all these lots of things that you want to do. And
the resolutions.
So I do not put pressure on myself, but I think I would pick like few things that I want to do and I want to work on. And you know, there's a way you have this expectation of things, and then the year starts, and you kind of see the goalpost is shifting.
Yeah,
or you're just overwhelmed. Yeah, I think overwhelmed is the word. I'm just overwhelmed with oh my god, how do I make sure that this happens? Even though I do have like all the smaller goals to ensure that I achieve systems and all these things, but like I can be an anxious person. Yeah, I think that's the word. Yeah, I can be an anxious person, so I tend to just have 20 things in my head at the same time. So yeah.
I understand I hope you get it all sorted.
I hope so too.
When you talked about yourself as a happy and a stubborn person, I don't know if I should call you a girl or a woman. Where do you fit? Oh,
I'm a grown woman. Oh. What do you mean?
God, I beg.
I'm a woman. I wish you could see my facial expression.
as a playful woman, was this what it looked like for you as a child? Were you as playful as you are right now?
No, I don't think so. I had a very serious childhood.
Ooh.
So my dad is an academic, or is a lecturer. Yeah, I think so. And you know, I don't know if it's probably general. When you have a first child and all your expectations of what you wanted to be, is placed on them. I think I had that. I didn't used to watch TV. Like a lot of the movies that people watched are cartoons. I watched them like when I was in university, when people started talking about them, so I could feel among.
You did not watch TV. Movies?
No, I did not. And it wasn't anything religious. It was just, but like, I used to read a lot. And I still, funny enough, I still like reading.
Yeah.
But like, I used to have reading expectations. Like, before the next class, so say primary six, so primary five, the holiday, my dad would buy textbooks. He buys two sets of textbooks. So during the holiday, I would have finished that textbook before, then for the next class. I would have finished it.
Oh my goodness.
I would have finished it. So I don't think I was playful, but I used to be in my head a lot. So, and that could have been because I used to read a lot. So there were lots of books. So my dad used to be country, but then there were lots of books around. So I liked reading too. And since I didn't used to, so I didn't used to play with people, he didn't let us play with other people because it felt like you learn bad things from them and all of that. So I was always, and I was like, the only child for close to, I think, 5 years. I'm older than my younger, immediate younger child, 5 years. So it was just, I was in my head a lot. It was just either books. I used to write exams a lot, like, just for fun.
Yeah.
I used to write exams just for fun. Like, my dad would make me write exams just to test yourself.
Can you imagine?
So it was, I don't think I had a playful childhood per se. But at the same time, my dad can be playful. He was strict, but he could be playful as well. So I'm not sure where I picked the playful part or when I decided that I'm going to explore the playful. I honestly can't tell where or when.
Mm-hmm.
And I think why I'm still probably this playful. I don't care that people think that I'm playful because there's, especially when you have like a picture or something, people have this expectation of how you should be. You should be cool, calm, collected, and body of wisdom and all of that stuff.
Body of wisdom.
Yeah, I mean, not like I have body of wisdom, but I want to play. I want to not take things too seriously.
Yeah.
I don't care that people think, yeah, that sort of way, because I didn't play when I was younger. Please, I'm going to play now. But yeah,
and I actually wanted to discover, at what point did you get to a place where you felt like there's a life outside books and I can live it? Could you remember what could have happened and you're like, wait, so this is actually possible?
So the thing is that I think I still do it. I have like dual personalities. Mm-hmm. Sort of. So when I'm with some people, because I remember that in secondary school, yeah, I think some would have, yeah, I was playful, but like when I'm in the house, I'm like quiet. When I'm with like some certain people that I don't know that well, I'm very quiet and reserved and all of that. But when I'm with like my people, I'm very playful. Even in uni, like I will be very quiet in class, like in class, but like in the hostel with the girls, because obviously girls are still like, but I was like very playful with the girls. So like people, my classmates that were male will probably think, oh, she's just very quiet and doesn't speak. But that was not true. You get. So I have this thing where I can shift. Depending on the people that I'm with. So, and it just came with, like, my dad was very strict when I was younger. Yeah. So when he's around, like, everybody has to be writing, you have to be reading, you have to be doing something. So, and then when he goes out, oh, there's a little bit of freedom, you can do something. So I was an obedient child, so I wouldn't go extreme, like, switch on the TV, when you say I shouldn't switch on the TV, but I would play around a little bit, like, still play. So I think that formed how I play or how my playful nature is. Even now, some people, if you ask like different people will have different opinion of who I am. Because they're like, oh, she's so quiet, she doesn't talk. And some are like, oh my God, there's no way that means quiet. And then
I don't know how I can tell anyone that you're quiet.
I know. I know. So it's just depending on where I am. And sometimes I do set up that I can actually switch it on and switch it off. If I'm somewhere and if I'm going somewhere and I want to be the playful dad, I'm going to be the playful dad. And just even in Zambia, some people thought that I was very quiet and I don't speak and all of that. And you can imagine that we were in the same place and you knew that I wasn't quiet. And then in that same place, some people were like, oh my gosh, she's so quiet, she's so this. I remember the last day I was speaking with one of my colleagues and somebody was like, oh, so you talk. And I'm like, hello.
Because I think I remember... I also noticed the shift because there is a way how we just connected instantly. So when we're in Zambia, you had suggested that we talk about two topics. And I would really want to understand why they are so close to your heart. Because one of them that you suggested is how volunteering could have changed your life. Let's hear it.
Yeah, so for me, I always just tell people volunteering, it actually did change my life. And I'm passionate about it because it changed my life. And I feel like, you know, when something happens to you, I just want everybody to know, oh my God.
Yeah. Go tell it on the mountain.
Exactly. The gospel. You want to preach the gospel to people. So that's basically how I feel. And I feel like it's not because I discovered it in a very... Nobody talked about it before I discovered it, or maybe not in the conventional sense. Yeah. So I felt like, I want to tell people, and that's something with me. And it also relates to the second thing we're going to talk about. When I find something that works, I want to tell people because I feel like, especially if I did not know about that thing, I feel like more people should know, because if more people know about that, it would change their life. And lifestyle. And for me, volunteering, first of all, it helped me find a second career. It also helped me start things on my own. I used to think, and I still do say that, and I still believe that I'm a very proper 9-to-5. I'm not one of those, I'm sorry. And it could change because, again, life is full of surprises, but I'm not one that has always aspire to entrepreneurship in that conventional sense. I've tried it many times, but I'll start business and I'll give all the things that I wanted to sell. And this has happened so many times, so I don't think. But if somebody starts something, I always say that, I will be able to support it and take it to length to even think it could go. But when I started volunteering, I actually realized that I can start things. I just need to be very passionate about that thing. I don't know if that kind of makes sense to you.
When you talk about volunteering, please draw us a picture for us to be able to understand, because there are different forms of volunteering.
Yeah, so I generally, maybe because I grew up in a house, my mom is a teacher, but I'm a lecturer, academics. I'm very passionate about education in all its various forms. A lot of what I am, I have realized now that I picked it for my parents, but I didn't realize until now. So my dad is also very passionate about education. He started a school in his village. It's not a non-profit school, but they actually pay less to like almost nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was younger, during my holiday, I would go there to teach to kids and all of that for free. So I think that was my first form of volunteering that I did not realize I was volunteering. Mm-hmm. But I would just go around there and just teach. And I just like seeing people just grow, especially with regards to education, giving especially people in low-income communities. And then my dad used to have this old boys association, and they used to have this scholarship programs and everything. So I knew that I was passionate about education, about helping people grow if they didn't have the resources, money were necessary, teaching people in a very unconventional sense that would make them just understand what they want to learn. Just a different dynamic of education. So I think I should just kind of talk about how I just got into the volunteering versus my journey and all of that. So that's the background. I just want to give you a background. Mm-hmm. While I was doing all of those things, I didn't know that was volunteering. But then one day I went to a friend's house and then I saw a book about volunteering. I don't think I even read all of it. I read just one chapter. But then I saw a link on the lady I talked about volunteering, how she had volunteered across, I think she's a Nigerian but lives in the US. But she had gone to some African countries to volunteer and all of that stuff. And then she shared links to websites where you can get volunteering opportunities. So at that time, I think I went on the website, but I never really volunteered. But then a friend, I started talking, and that's something about me. Once I find something, I'm telling everybody. I just kept telling my friend. And then one of my friends was like, there's this volunteering opportunity. She's going to apply to it, but you should apply to it as well. And it was just basically, it was a summer camp for teenagers. Just basically, and what I loved about it was we weren't teaching them about English or maths or all of those things. We were teaching them about understanding yourself. Mm-hmm. Just life skills, basically, understanding yourself, how to, national development as well. So just patriotism, what you should know about your country, civic development. And I think we were also teaching them about how to understand their academic style. So learning how you learn best and all of that stuff. And so I just volunteered. And then I would say that was when everything changed. At that time, I had already started doing my PhD. So it was one of those long holidays. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll just volunteer and just do my thing. So I volunteered. And fortunately for me, I was working with someone that was a program manager, mm-hmm. the program manager at the event, and I was working closely with that person. And then he had to leave because of work. So it's a residential camp where the kids are camped there, the volunteers are also camped there, and we are basically just having events every day, sports, fun activities, competitions, and all of that stuff. And he left and was like, oh, Dami, I think you can handle it. And I'm like, why are you saying I can't believe? Why? What's giving you that right thing to but? He said it, and even though I said no, he just told the organizers, like, oh, she's going to be handling it. And then I just had to do it. And I've been chatting for that organization I stopped in 2020, that was 2016, 2020, so that's like for 4 years.
Four years?
I was just, So it was for 4 years. And I volunteered in different capacities, so program manager, curriculum development, and that still goes to show education of that curriculum development, leading the curriculum and development team. And I just noticed that I really, aside just loving what I was doing, you would see the impact you're having on kids' lives. Mm-hmm. You would learn to hear about different stories about different people, and then you become more empathetic. Mm-hmm. I hope that's the right word.
Yeah, but I would really understand it in that context.
Yeah, so I became more empathetic towards people. I was giving myself, and I enjoyed giving myself. And based off of that, I just decided, you know what? I think I want to be a program manager, and I want to work with nonprofits full time. Mm. But it didn't make sense because I was doing a PhD in chemistry. So why do you want to do that? And I come from for lack of a better word, bloodline of academics and all of that stuff. So people don't get confused. I don't actually have a bloodline. It's just my dad and my mom.
So what I'm hearing here is that this means that if you were stuck in academics, there is no way you would have gotten to a space of more interaction with people in this manner.
Yeah. Yes, I think so, or maybe not, because I would have been volunteering more, and probably I would have had to reach out to people. And the thing is, and that's why I say the things that I was doing those things, but I didn't just realize that I was doing them in that capacity. So I have this in my neighborhood. I do this party. I throw this party for kids. Nice. New Year, Christmas, and just basically just kids have fun, dance and all of that, and just give them, like, talk to them about stuff. And I'd gone to public schools around me and told them that I want to tutor kids. And I just so then I was in my PhD, so the people doing masters and PhD, I went to not recruit them, but I just kind of sold the idea to them, like, oh, we can actually just go teach this kid. Mm-hmm. During the weekends, they are preparing for major exams, and people did. They bought into the idea, and something that it's surprising sometimes. But yeah, when I tell people about things, people are always quick to buy into it. Mm-hmm. So they really want to buy into it. So if those things I did used to do them while I was doing this academic thing and all of that, I just didn't think it was something I could do full time. I don't know if you get what I mean. Sorry. Yeah, so I think I would have interacted in that capacity, but just not. Yeah, unless you make a complete conclusion. I don't know. Yeah, I think I would have probably interacted with them, but I'm just not sure of the the degree, yeah, maybe the degree at which I would have been able to do that. Yeah.
That's right. And then when we talk about the part where you can change your life at any point.
Yeah. I think that's where the old PhD thing, and being a PhD in chemistry, and I want to do program management. That's where it comes in. So at that point, I was very apprehensive because my PhD was funded by the US NIH. I tell people that I wasn't doing badly. So it wasn't a case of I was doing bad, so I was looking for something else. I wasn't doing badly at all. I was doing quite well. So after a PhD, you get something, you do something called a postdoc. So it's a postdoctoral fellowship. So it's just basically, you're doing research, but now you're not without supervision per se. Mm-hmm. So just independent research as a doctor, you get.
I get it.
As a doctor. Yeah. So I had a postdoc position already waiting, and I was going to be in Nigeria and doing a postdoc, which meant that I was going to pay $8 being here. And for a Nigerian, that is great.
It is. Not just Nigerians, my friend. Not just Nigerians.
Yeah, so that is great. But I just wasn't feeling led, if I could use that word, to continue in the academic part. But I felt like I was ruining my life in some sort of way to just change, because while I had like experience doing program management in with those organizations, I felt like I didn't, who am I to say I want to go do that kind of thing? And one of the fears that I had was, yeah, let me change your life. Like all my life up until that point has been prepped for me to get into academia. Mm-hmm. Do you get, like, and it wasn't, I know some people might just be, I'm doing it because my parents did it. It wasn't because of that. Like, I had questioned myself many times, like, are you doing this because your parents did this? Or are you doing this because you want to do it? And I knew that I wanted to do it, you get. So it just felt like, why not just go that path? You get, I was trying to look for people that had sort of changed the course of their lives. I didn't know, I would read about people like in Nigeria. There was, I don't want to mention the wrong name, but there's a woman in Nigeria that she had done many businesses. Like, she had worked in the furniture industry, she worked in the bank. And I really did just like her story. Like, she was just, I used to be fascinated by those stories, but I didn't know that it was sort of a way to make me feel. There was just this idea in my head that I couldn't change because of my life. Like, it was a taboo to change because of my life. Like, you are wasting time. You are wasting all the time that you have invested into this other thing.
Exactly. I think it also comes with fear of how people will view you, because this whole journey, how much time you have invested and the money, getting to the level of doctorate, and then you're like,
I'm
doing something else. So I feel like at the back of your mind, you're like, ooh, what are people going to say?
That's very true. Very, very true. Like, that was major, very major. Like, what are people going to say? What will they say? What will they say? Like, what will they say? Am I being spoiled? That's another thing. Like, am I being spoiled? Just, am I misusing my privilege?
Right.
Or the privilege I've had so far. Mm-hmm. So that was major. Yeah, that was major. Like, I knew the moment that I decided to make that switch. But I didn't tell people. I didn't tell my parents that they had switched and gotten a job and
You didn't tell them?
Yeah. So I probably told a few of my friends and one of my PhD supervisors.
Uh-huh.
So I told him. No, actually, no. Not okay. In my PhD journey, I met so many people. So, okay, I think I should say this. So when I had to go to Germany at some point for my PhD research. Mm-hmm. And I had this boss, very, very smart chemist, that I enjoyed working on and all of that. And then one day I was just like, let me just speak to. I know there's something about when you're outside your country where you feel, you feel less judged, you feel less attachment to people. Yeah. So if I tell you, like, I know you and I respect you, but I don't feel that emotionally attached to you to hold on to your, hold on to your opinions if they are ash that much. But it wasn't even an ash personality. To be honest, we are still friends and still very, he's one of those people that are still very much in my life and I still respect.
Yeah.
So I remember telling him that, oh, I have this thoughts and everything. And he's like, oh my God, go for it. And you know, there's a difference with the way, white people and, or maybe European people and Africans sort of view things. And he's like, oh, go for it. The worst you have is stories to tell. And remember, I'm like, my life is a story to tell. And he's like, you know what? If you don't like it, you go back to your PhD is waiting for you. You go back to chemistry. Chemistry is always there. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Such a carefree attitude. Like, I wanted somebody to tell me, oh my God, you are ruining your life.
Exactly.
And it was like,
are you sure? Why? Are you okay? Do you need someone else to talk to?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, go for it. And then he went like a step further. So there was someone that he knew that had worked in like non-profits in Africa. She works in that same organization. And he's like, oh, I'll set up a meeting for you guys to meet each other. And before I knew, like, things were being in motion, were being set in motion that I didn't expect. So I spoke with her and she was very encouraging. She looked through my CV, helped me to reframe my CV, reshape it into the industry that I want to go into. And then there was just so much support. They tried to get me a ticket to the UN in Bonn. So I was in Heidelberg in Germany. I think there was a UN like center in Bonn. And I don't know, something happened and I couldn't go again. But like, there was so much support. And I'm like, okay, maybe this is.
Yeah.
I won't lie, that gave me a push. And yeah, it gave me a push that I really needed. And then I told people what the goals. I was like, oh, it's experience. But I think one thing that I would tell people, if you're going to make that switch, is the journey is very personal. It's very, very personal. Because between when I finished my PhD, I finished my PhD in 2020, and that was the year of the COVID, obviously.
Right.
And getting a job in project, it was a year in between. And that year, oh my God. Oh my god.
The year has a uniform for almost all of us.
Yeah, sure. I think that when it's one thing to make a decision to change the course of your life, it's another thing to not be changing it. You will be in a journey where you will learn things about yourself you didn't realize. And as bad as it might have been, that year taught me that. And I already said it before then, I'm a resilient person. That year taught me that I'm a resilient person because I could have gone back. Like, I could have easily just gone back to chemistry. It would have been easy for me at any point. I could have just gone back.
It taught you that you're resilient?
I was able to stay the course. And after changing, I'm just like, you know what? Sometimes I tell my friends playfully, I have two more careers in me because it's really... There is nothing that should be, especially if you really want to and you're passionate about, and for people like me who can like many things at the same time. Because I usually said I don't hate education. I actually do love talking to people and teaching people, which is something that I try to do on the side in a voluntary capacity, like free and for kids around me. So you can... Yeah, so it's, I feel like I've lost my train of thought. But yeah, like I didn't hate education. If you like many things, you can explore them. Like, you can explore them. And the major thing is that nothing is a waste. There are so many things I've learned from being a chemist, from being in the academia space, because in the academia, you learn about ranking and order a lot. And that really pushes, or those things inform how there are wealth of experience that you carry along to the next thing that you want to do or the next direction you want to go. I don't think anything there was wasted all the years. I don't think it was wasted. I think I just picked information from them. Even just the way that I worked, I was always in the lab 24/7. Well, not 24/7, but I used to sleep in the lab. I used to sleep in the lab too.
No.
So Now when I work now, I'm really for like, oh, I have like extra work hours.
I'm sorry to say, but I'm glad you left, because how would I have met you? What would I be doing in the lab?
I know. we would have met someone. I think we would have met someone. Maybe not in that capacity, but we would have met.
What? They would have shipped me to Nigeria for medical reasons? What? Like what? What would have made a sweet man?
Now let me give you a scenario. Maybe I'd come to Zambia for a conference. Obviously, it might not have been.
And what year. Would what exactly? So what would have put us together?
Okay,
like?
Maybe there is a man in that conference that you like. That was like, oh, why not I come around? And then we cross paths. You know. Oh, the drama is coming.
See your head.
See your head.
That's your front,
so
my friend.
You're coming in and then I'm like, oh, sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, I eat you. And then it's love story.
I can't imagine you in the lab. Sad. Why would you have all this conversation? Do you just be thinking about chemicals all the time?
I was a proper scientist. Proper chemistry girl. But yeah,
you are a happy person, and we can feel it in your voice. And now we want to know, when is that moment that might have struck you so hard you felt like, I don't think I'm surviving this?
I think the 2020 was a bad year, but I don't think 2020 was the year for me. I think it was 2016. Mm-hmm. So I just finished my master's and I didn't want to do my PhD in Nigeria. I wanted to travel. I wanted to go to China to be specific, because there was a certain research that I wanted to do was on oil recovery. And there was, I think it was only in China and Canada that technology was being used. So I wanted to go to China, basically. And so between 2015 and 2016.
Yeah.
Or yeah, that's it. Yeah, 2015, the end of 2015 and 2016, I was trying to make that choice. I think that was the first time. So now let's just go back. I've had a very fast education. I've never had to pause in my life. So from primary school, I moved into university. From primary, I moved to secondary school. Secondary school, I didn't even have to wait like some months. I think I finished secondary school like maybe June, July. I got into university September. So I've had like this. I went to BSc. So there's this thing I do at UBU, NYC. I did my NYC. I came back for master's. And yeah, so that was the first year that I had to wait. And in addition to that, I think that was the year my parents, kind of separated. Mm-hmm. And I had to live alone for the first time. And it wasn't living alone. I wish I could say more, but I can't, unfortunately. But I just found that I was alone, living alone with no money, no job. Mm-hmm. And for the first time in my life, there was no next thing. So it was, it seems trivial now that I talk about it, but that year was quite rough for me. Like, it was very rough. And it was also the year where, obviously, people are trying to figure out stuff. It was university, just masters. So people were figuring for their masters, traveling for their masters, everything. And I felt very alone, very, very alone. And that's why the few people in that year that reached out to me, because then, I had the BlackBerry went off, was bad. So I couldn't even repair the BlackBerry. Because I didn't want to be idle and I couldn't find, I looked for a school around me where I could teach, and they were owing me money and they were paying me. I was the highest paid, and they were paying me like, was 7,000 naira. 7,000 naira is very, very low.
7,000 naira is like how many dollars?
Now with the exchange rate is like less than $7. But at that time, that wasn't the exchange rate. But yeah, $7. So, and they were owing me, so they weren't going to pay me. But I was always going there and just, and I had, oh my God, I had to, anyway, ask me something else. But yeah, and yeah, it was the first time in my life that, yeah, I had gone through things before, but that year was just, it was sad. I was low, the lowest of low emotionally. And obviously my parents were separated, so they were trying to figure out their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time too, because my mom had to like start all over again, and yeah, so nobody really cared per se about damage like that. So it was just me being alone for the first time in my life, not knowing what to do, the next thing to do in my life. But yeah, so it was very rough, but at the same time I'm a Christian, so it's going to come up. I feel like God used that to raise me for time in the future. And he did raise people as well, because that year, oh, was that year I was going through a breakup? Oh my God.
You were going through a breakup the same year?
I think so. That was my first ever breakup as well.
The same year?
Yes. Ah. That same year. About that time as well. Yeah, so it was.
How are you? Yeah, oh my God! What I'm wondering what could have been going on in your mind, seeing your parents separating.
Oh my God!
And then there is you as well.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. I don't ask you. Yeah, I'm careful to not use some words, but it was really bad. It was really bad. I honestly didn't think I would survive that year. I didn't think I would survive. Like, my thoughts were,
Is there something you could have learned from that period?
Yeah.
You're not sure. But it's okay. You don't really, it's not a must to learn, even when they say some experiences are just lessons. But you could also help us have a picture of what it was like for you to survive.
I think what I did learn afterwards was, as weirdly as it seems, things pass.
Right.
Yeah, things pass, because when I think about my life now and think about 2016, I can't even believe that. So I don't do that as much now, but I tend to write like my thoughts and everything. I used to write a lot then. I mean, well, what else was there for me to do? Mm-hmm, I used to write a lot. And then when I look at, so this year, at the beginning of the year, I just stumbled on like my old notes and I was like, oh my God, this is dark. And I just like, yes. So like, for me to have gone through that, everything passes, as weird, and even though if you had told me at that time that this will pass, I would have slapped your face.
Mm.
And that's not what I wanted to hear. That's not what I wanted to hear. So, but yeah, things pass. And in the midst of those things, because in that year, as bad as it was, I met some people that they didn't know what was going on in my life.
Right.
But decided that this person, I'm going to just be interested in her. And though they do not know what the impact that had, those were moments that kept me going. I remember one of my friends, she was my classmate. We were friends in school, but I honestly didn't think our friendship would extend towards outside school. Because another thing is, I went to Paris school in Nigeria, and my dad is not, it's like middle class, but he was able to send me to that school. So I was in a school where I had so many rich kids around me.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, I was like, yeah, those some of these people are my friends. It's just friendship based on circumstance. We are in the same environment. So obviously, yeah, I'm cool, but I didn't expect it to exceed outside of that. And in that year where I was drowning, that's the word for it, I was drowning.
Yeah.
I didn't have a phone. I had like this small phone that had no internet and all of that. And then I saw, I got a message from one of my friends. Her name is Damia Go. And she's like, oh, Damia, I've been seeing you everywhere, anywhere online. I just want to check how you're doing and all of that, And I still remember where I was when I got that text message. I remember crying so much. I was like, oh my God, somebody remembers me.
Oh.
I remember one of my other friends as well who would come. She used to, there's this program she used to attend. I don't know if you know about it. It's a church program. And then she would go for the program, then buy the CD and come to my house. My house is like another state. And then she just wanted to bring it to me. And then I'm like, based on what?
On love.
And I wouldn't lie. I didn't think I was lovable. So people like trying to. I was going through. I wish I could say a lot of things that I was going through that period, but I don't think I can. Or maybe I'm not in the space to. And just people just kept loving me in ways that I was surprised and kind of held me on. And what I learned from that period is, which is also something that I try to do right now, is just show up for people. Like, if people come up in your mind, send them a message, send them a text.
Yeah.
Tell people about what they mean to you. Because those things, you never know where that person is at. And that message, that text message that you just took 5 minutes to send, or less than 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
was actually the difference between life and death for that person. Or somebody just, I remember somebody had one of my supervisors who just kept, I don't know where he got that, I don't know. But always, like, he would see me and just keep telling me that God loves you. And of course, you know, there is, when you hear something, and he's like, God loves you, everybody, God loves me, God loves me. But I didn't understand I didn't understand what he meant. So it was just, yeah. But he kept saying it so much. And I'm just like, guy, where is this coming from? But I knew, like, in my own personal life, I knew that it was a message for me. Like, don't give up. Don't give up. God loves you, God loves you. And he would just say randomly, mm-hmm. not that. And he would say, I think you don't know how much God loves you, but God loves you. And it wasn't privy to any of the background things that was happening to me at that point. So I felt very seen by God, to be honest. And I learned the power of people during that period, and which is what I want. Whatever I am to people is largely based off of what I got that period. Showing up for people, just giving people, even giving as well. Because I was broke.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was just giving to people, showing up for people, telling people that it means something to you. If you haven't heard from somebody in a long time, I would send a message. I don't care wherever I remember, if I'm in a call, and I just reaching out to people, and also just realizing that life is not a bed of roses, because that hits me more, because I've always had a back-to-back-to-back life. I never had a pause. I always had something, the next thing. So that year was the year where I didn't have the next thing.
Mm.
So obviously, it was as a shock.
Basically, it was like a stop.
Exactly.
Stop moving.
And based on how, yeah. So it's like, life is a bit of roses. You can't expect life to just go smoothly. Yeah, it's even Jesus did not tell us to go smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it won't go. So if you aren't prepared for that kind of lifestyle, not lifestyle, but if you're not prepared. And doesn't mean you should expect bad things. I don't know what the right balance is, but I just realized that. So if I have a stop right now, or if something happens, I just know that, I just know that it won't be as bad. It can't be as bad as 2016. To be honest, I just say, if nothing was as bad as 2016, it's not that bad.
I think what you're trying to even put across, I can relate, because I think someone at some point asked me, I don't remember which year it could be, it might have been 2022. And he asked me, why mental health on your podcast? Have you struggled with mental health? And I told him, yeah. And I think, I don't remember, but I may have painted a picture for him. And then he asked me, I don't remember how he phrased it, but he seems to ask me, something like what keeps you moving forward or something close to that, like in case mm-hmm. something else happens in that manner, how will you handle something like that? In that, that's where the conversation was driven. And I told him, if I survived 2014, I don't think I cannot, there's something I cannot survive. Okay. Trust me, life can show you, life can show you madness at some point, but I've had to lean towards a mantra that these two shall pass. I know it's hard right now, but yeah, we have to sit with it, but time will pass. It will pass.
Yeah, I agree.
So I can definitely relate with what you're trying to put across.
Yeah.
What message would you love to leave the listener? Should they play more? You want them to play more? What do you want them to do?
I think what I will tell them is don't let people's expectation of you define you. You can be anything. You don't have to be the stereotypical person if you're not. So yeah, if people expect that, oh, somebody with a PhD should be a certain way, and you are not that, you don't have to fit into that stereotype. Mm-hmm. If that's not you, just do you. Define whatever you want to be by yourself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's it.
So do you want to have a look at, back at your emotional wheel?
Oh, yes, I do.
Tell us how you feel.
I'm excited.
Oh, look at yourself.
Yeah, I'm excited.
You excited? What has gotten you excited?
I enjoyed this conversation. I enjoyed, even though I felt like I was just talking a lot.
It's your time. I told you it's your time to shine.
Yeah. So I enjoyed having this conversation. So I'm excited by just talking about all those things. I'm excited by that. And I enjoy talking to you too. Yeah. I think you are my person. Hey. I'm a badass. I'm not meant to be doing all those kind of mushy things.
You go back to your laboratory, my friend. Here in the world, we feel our emotions. Thank you so much for giving us your time, Dami.
Thank you. Thank you, too, for letting me come on the podcast. Because I've always wanted to do the podcast before. Like, one of my dreams.
Oh, dreams
so
fulfilled.
Thank you for making my dreams come true.
Send dollars.
Really? Just how my voice went down.
But I think the other thing that before we close off, I feel like it's important for you to also emphasize a bit of volunteering because this is where the whole conversation was driven from. So we could, I don't know, something off your mind?
Yeah, volunteering. I tell people that one thing people say is, oh, I can't find opportunities to volunteer, but you can always find opportunities. Look within your community, your immediate environment, and don't think, oh, I don't have the privilege to, because volunteering is about paying your privilege forward, and you might think, oh, I don't have that privilege, but the truth is all of us, we do have some element of privilege, so... Yeah, just give back to people in whatever form that you can and you're able to. You will be changed by it. You might not find a new career like me, but you'll be happy because when you see the impact that your own seemingly little action has on somebody else, there's no way it won't give you joy to be honest.
Right.
There's no way. Yeah.
All right. What time is it right now? Do enjoy your afternoon. Because right now, it's already evening on my end.
Yeah, it's evening as well because it's 4:24. Yeah.
4 is actually afternoon. I'm told okay. Evening starts at 6.
Sorry, no way.
All right, Dami, have a good one. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us to the very, very end. If you loved this episode, please do me a favor and hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, CastBox, Podbean, or any podcast platform of your choice. It is by your power of building this community that we will make this podcast grow. Also, feel free to share your insights about what connected with you on social media and be sure to tag us. We are at hashtag with NavGuziChuanka on Facebook and Instagram, and on Twitter, our handle X. And on X, our handle is at HTNK Podcast, or you can use the hashtag HTNK Insation. See you next Monday for our second Lego segment. Ciao.